Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to you this day, this morning, asking you for your power and your concern and your presence with us, in us, and upon us to speak to us, oh God. We want to hear from you. I pray, oh God, that in these next few moments that we would hear your voice very clearly, that you would anoint me afresh as your spokesman, allow me clarity to communicate your heart and your will and your desire for us as your people. And so, God, I pray that you would remove all distractions. I pray that you would get us and our stuff and our baggage out of the way, that we might hear you. Talk to us, Lord. We want to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. So have your way and glorify yourself in these next few moments. We'll make sure you get all the credit for all the good that comes from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember that scene in the Black Panther where Eric Killmonger, he shows up, he's brought to the, he comes to the Wakandan border, he's brought into the Wakanda High Council, and he then declares that he is N'Jaraka, son of N'Jobu, and he issues a challenge basically to T'Challa, to battle him for the crown. He wants to be made king. He in essence, he calls him out. It's a challenge to show and prove. Show what you got. No more hiding. Put it all out there. Let's see what you got. And then it moves to that river scene, river bluff scene, where they he basically says this is, he's laying it all on the line, and he wants to see, is T'Challa willing to step up and to take on this challenge and become take the risk of putting it all out there and showing and proving who is to be the rightful king. Imagine that setting and imagine that scene. And in the same way, I've been declaring over the last few weeks that the Lord is calling us out. This series is all about how God is calling you and I into a new era of his purpose and his calling for our lives. It's based upon this principle in Deuteronomy 4, 37 and 38, where God always takes his people out of something, calls them out of something in order to bring them into something else. And so we've been talking about how God is calling us out of our selfishness and out of our excuses and out of our bad behavior and calling us into showing and proving our transformed lives to the world. He's calling us out of our hiding and into our anointing, the place where he has anointed us, the ways that he has anointed us to serve him and to show and prove the kingdom of God and its agenda in our lives and through our lives. And so I'm concluding this series by looking at another person that Jesus called out. Join me in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting at verses 42, reading all the way through verse 48. I might drop in some stuff that Mark says from his gospel to kind of give color to the narrative, but this is a very familiar story that many of us know and have heard about, but let's look at it with new eyes in terms of how Jesus calls us out. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 42 from the New Living Translation. The Bible says that as Jesus went with him, now realize, Jesus is on his way to heal this guy named Jairus's daughter. He's on his way to heal her, and in the midst of this, he has to travel through this crowd to the place where Jairus's daughter is. And the Bible says that as Jesus went with Jairus, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding and could find no cure. This was obviously a gynecological issue from the way Luke frames it, but Luke, being a doctor, leaves out some details that Mark, who doesn't seem to care, who's kind of rough around the edges, Mark includes in his gospel, in Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 5, verse 26, Mark says that she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. This was a gynecological issue. The medical science was kind of crude at that time, and she was dealing with this chronic suffering, this chronic pain that had menstrual bleeding that would not stop, could not stop, and no doctors could help her. She spent everything that she had, and not only was she broken, but now she was broke. Luke picks up the story in chapter 8, verse 44, says like this: coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Verse 45, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Check this out. Here's a story of this woman who has a tragic condition. She has this constant gynecological problem that, according to the Levitical law and the way it was interpreted at that time that she was there with Jesus, she was considered unclean because of this bleeding that could not stop, this chronic pain that doctors could not cure. She was considered ceremonially unclean, religiously unclean, and she wasn't even supposed to be in and around a crowd of people because her touching somebody else would render them impure for a whole day. So here's a woman who not only lived in chronic, constant pain, but she had spent all that she had. She had no more possessions. She was broke from trying to get help. It kind of reminds me of some things that my wife and I have discovered over the last couple of years, that it seems as if the medical profession sometimes doesn't give women of color all of the information and all of the options that they have in gynecological issues, dealing with cysts and fibroids and those kinds of things. And women are suffering chronically when they don't have to. Here's a woman. She lost her health. She lost her possessions, and because she was considered ritually impure and unclean, she couldn't go to synagogue. She couldn't go to the temple. She was separated from God, but she was also, because she was considered unclean, separated from people. So she's living with constant embarrassment, chronic pain, the loneliness of not being able to connect with people and being separated from a community, made to feel less than. Imagine the depression and imagine the desperation that comes from that situation. She had to try to live as a person in an anonymous way. She came to Jesus, which indicates how desperately she was in need of help. Because it was her last hope. She figured, Mark says, that if she could just touch the hem of his robe, if she could catch one of the tassels at the end of his outer garment, that maybe that would be enough to heal her, since other avenues had left her broken and no better. She dares to try to trust and hope in Jesus, but she does it trying to use the crowd as cover. She hid herself in the crowd. She didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to be known. She lived with this embarrassment. She lived with this issue. She didn't want other people to call her out. She tried to hide. And it seems as if from the time she touched his robe, she felt the healing in her body. And so she started to drift back in the crowd to try to stay anonymous. From the way that it says that she kind of had to come back and fell at his feet, it looks as if she had moved off from Jesus from the time that she touched his robe. But here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus knew what was going on, even in a crowd, even with a woman who was trying to hide. Because he says in verse 45, "Who touched me?" Everybody's denying it. Nobody's wanting to take ownership of this issue. Nobody's trying to own it. Peter was like, "Jesus, everybody's pressing up on you. What are you talking about?" But Jesus would not let it go. He said, "No, somebody deliberately touched me. I felt healing power go out from me." So check this out. Even when Jesus tried to find out who touched him, she still didn't want to be seen. She was still trying to hide. She was still trying to deny it. But Jesus, the way he asks it, he wants to try to figure out what's going on. He's not satisfied with Peter's answer. He's not satisfied with the denials. Matter of fact, Mark says in Mark chapter 5, verse 22, that he kept looking around, trying to see who had done it, who had touched him. Watch this. He wasn't going to go another step until he had this lady know and understand that he was calling her out, not to embarrass her. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 47, Luke chapter 8, verse 47, when she realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble. She falls to her knees in front of him, and she explains to him in a way that everybody hears what had happened and that she was immediately healed. She realized she couldn't stay hidden, and Jesus calls her out. She tried to hide with the idea of wanting to avoid attention and awareness, trying to escape notice, trying not to be seen. Jesus calls her out. Jesus puts her front and center, calls her in front of the crowd, because watch this. Jesus knows who she is. Jesus knows what's happened. Nobody else in the crowd knows, but she knows, but Jesus also knows. So watch this. She's nervous to speak in front of the crowd. That's why she's trembling. She's not sure if she did the right thing, because remember, she was impure. She wasn't supposed to touch other people. Maybe she had done the wrong thing. Jesus might scold her. He's already called her out. He's already put her on blast in front of this crowd. Maybe he would be so mad that he would cancel the healing that he had just given her through her touch. She didn't know what was about to happen. But notice, Jesus wasn't asking the question for information. He knew what happened. He knew what was going on. Watch this. The question that he asked, the call out, was not to embarrass her, but to get her to confess what had just happened. Because she was attempting to keep her praise about her healing to herself. She was about to walk back into the crowd knowing that she had been healed, but try to keep it to herself. So for her own sake, Jesus calls her out in order for her to talk about what has happened. He knew that touch of faith was curative. In other words, it saved her. When he says your faith has saved you, the idea is to save you or to free you from disease. That he knew she was cured and she needed to talk. He called her out so that she could talk about her being cured. He also knew that touch of faith, he called her out because she needed to talk about it, because that touch was also salvific and soteriological. In other words, it her faith not just cured her, but it proved her faith in who Jesus was, and it saved her. It saved her soul. It was a spiritual healing that took place as well as a physical one. So listen, he asks, "Who touched me?" for the sake of this woman to be able to admit what had just happened. Because check this out. When she touched him, Jesus supernaturally knew that what had happened, and he asked her this question not only for her sake, but for the sake of the people in the crowd around her. Because the touch and the healing was not just curative, it wasn't just salvific, but it was also sociological and restorative. He needed the other people to know who had been treating her as less than, who saw her embarrassment, who saw her as unclean. He needed them to know that she was okay and that she could be embraced and that she could be restored to the community and restored to a group of people around her. He needed them to know that she was cured so that she would no longer be seen as unclean and left alone and lonely. But not only that he calls her out because it was not just curative, it was not just salvific, it wasn't just sociological, but it was also solicitous. He wanted her to testify about what had happened to her. Sometimes Jesus will call us out in order that we would have a testimony. He needs us to talk about what we've been through, what he has done, what he has saved us from, how he has delivered us, how he has touched us. He called her out so that she could testify, so she could give glory to Jesus for what he had done in her life. See, sometimes we want to hide and we don't want to talk about what God has done in us. And sometimes Jesus calls us out of that hiding place because he wants us to tell others about what he has done. He wants others to know that we can be embraced from what we have been cured from by the power of Jesus, but people won't know it if we won't say it. So Jesus calls her out not to embarrass her, but so that she could testify as to what happened, so that she could then be embraced and brought back into society. He calls her out of that place and into, watch this, a brand new chapter of her life. I'm telling somebody, the Lord is calling us into a new era and a new chapter of lives, out of the old stuff, out of the old way of thinking, the old way of hiding, the old way of trying to keep it to ourselves and trying to operate on our own. Jesus is calling us out from that place and into the place where we can operate in something brand new era, brand new chapter, brand new beginnings, new seasons, new understanding, new approaches to life. Listen, Jesus called her to come out of this chapter of pain and disappointment and embarrassment and depression and into a new one of peace. Because look what he says in verse 40. He says, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, when he's talking about peace, that is specifically peace with God, that she, now she has been saved. Her eternal soul is saved and she's been made right with God. And she has that vertical relationship has been mended, and now she's right with God. She's no longer unclean, but she's embraced by God. But then also, peace with God biblically also means when I'm right with Him, I can be right horizontally with my community, with the people around me. He says, I want you to not just live in this new understanding that we're good, but I want you to live in a new understanding of what it means to be good with people, to be embraced by people, to live in community again. I want your acquaintances to know that you're no longer unclean, and I want you to start figuring out how to reconnect and live with people who used to shun you. I want you to be in peace. He calls this woman out of her place of hiding, out of her place of shame, the embarrassment, the chronic pain, the loneliness, the depression, feeling less than everybody else. He calls her out of that old life and that old mindset and that old way of operation, and he calls her into a new life, a new era, a fresh start, a new way of being in the world and in the world around her. And I'm here to tell you that what Jesus is up to in this season in your life, he's calling us out of the old way of thinking, out of that old chapter, out of that old understanding, and he's calling us into a new era of life. He's calling us out that he might take us in, into a new chapter, into a new arena, into new levels, into new responsibilities, into new possibilities, into new blessings. He's calling you and I out that he might bring us into the great things that what he has next, what he has in store, what he sees that we were not able to see back there. He's calling us out of hiding and to talk about and to testify about what he's brought us from, because it sets us up for where he's about to take us next. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you right now that even when we try to hide, even when we try to blend in the background, you see us. And you know what you've done in us to fix us and to cure us and to restore us. And now, God, you're calling us out of that place of shame and hiding and embarrassment and pain. And you're calling us into a new era and a new season where we walk with upheld heads, where we talk about where you have brought us from, what we know because of what you have done in us and to us and through us. And so, Father, I pray that just like T'Challa said when N'Jadaka challenges him, he says, I accept your challenge. Lord, we accept the challenge to walk in a new era and a new anointing and the transformed life that you've called us into because of what you have called us out of. And so, Lord, we trust you, we believe you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, step up to the call out.